Good morning. Today is Tuesday, May the 26th. Joining us this morning, city manager for the sunny, friendly city of Fortuna, Merritt Perry. Did I get all the words in right?
Yeah, that was perfect. And finally, sunny. We've got that little bit of rain. It's nice to see the weather start to change and have some nice weather on the horizon for sure.
Oh, I thought that was an irrigation pipe that broke when you guys were watering the garden in the Meridian strips. I didn't realize.
our crews are a lot more careful than that.
There you go. Okay, Winston, why do we say it?
Quack. Why is a medical charlatan pretending to be a physician called a quack?
Merritt, you want to take a shot at that one?
I think you're better at these than me, Brian. A quack.
All right. Well, I'm thinking quackery is like fake or misleading. Maybe it has something to do with that.
You get partial. You get partial credit because he boasts of his salves. Quack is really an abbreviation of the Dutch word for quacksalver, but the idea behind all these terms is that the quack is like the duck. It makes a big noise over nothing.
Okay.
All right.
So it is duck-related. Good.
And I come on this show to be informed and educated, so I really appreciate that.
So now you can get a duck call at your next city council meeting, huh?
There you go.
See what happens. Oh, boy. So we're kind of into the unofficial summertime. What's going on as far as the procedures and protocols and things of that nature with the city parks now that things are kind of starting to loosen up a little bit?
Yeah, you know, so people have been able to enjoy our parks. Our parks have been open, and, you know, there's some really nice places at Roner Park, Great Trails, Open Spaces, Newburgh Park, and then the McLean Foundation has recently extended their trail network and opened it to the public. So there's some nice ponds and wetlands they have that are attached to Newburgh Park. So the public's been using the parks. And I think the biggest thing on the horizon is going to be that we're looking at our summer fun program, and we're on the verge, or we submitted a plan. We will submit a plan today to the county. One of the things about the summer fun program is that a lot of families count on that to be able to take their kids there while they're going to work. And so we want to get that started. And it's going to be different. It's not going to be a summer camp per se. It's going to be more under the child care purview, which is allowed under phase two. So there's going to be smaller groups dedicated to one person, and a lot of protections that are going to be, you know, pretty tough for kids to, you know, stay in the similar groups, no contact. So we have a safety plan that our parks department has been putting together. So that's one of the things that we're hoping to get approved and be able to provide some options for parents who need to go back to work as businesses start reopening this summer. So that's a pretty big deal. We don't have an exact timeline. There's going to be some changes to registration. It's going to be required in advance so we know how many people to have there. But that's going to be a big deal. And I know a lot of the other cities are working on that as well.
Do you have to submit, as a city, do you have to submit to the county, just like the various businesses do also?
You know, for the essential services, not necessarily. You know, city, we've had staff working in an office environment, so it's not like a business office that's been closed. You know, the city is providing essential services, so we never shut down technically. We did close our front window to the public, and we've had limited public meetings, you know, by appointment with our building department, for example. But we are going to submit our plan for the child care at Roner Park to the county for approval, but not for our general office. But we're taking the same steps and same measures that many of the businesses are, and we're going through the certification process, but we're just not going to submit that to the county for the city hall opening.
So a lot of it is almost just information sharing as well.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's also a good exercise for our staff to, you know, understand what our businesses are having to do. And I don't know if you looked at the certifications or these plans, but there's a lot of steps that are in there. And essentially, these plans include all the best practices with some decisions and site-specific information. So it's a good exercise for folks to go through and walk through that.
What kind of residual do you think you're looking at? Are some of these steps that are being taken now going to be just implemented, and that's going to be routine, dealing either with Parks and Rec, with kids, with the hand sanitation, that kind of stuff at City Hall. Is that just going to be kind of folded into the way we do biz, so to speak?
That's how we're proceeding. Yeah, I think so. Until this is abated and we're not seeing, a lot of cases and people dying, I think, these plans are intended to be put in place, and it's going to stay that way for a while. And I don't think anybody really knows when it's going to end.
Yeah. Well, and if you did, you could probably make a lot of money and you'd probably be able to sleep a lot better at night.
Yeah. So some of the things, it's pretty easy to put up plexiglass shields, and, we're going to be routing people, through a different path with City Hall, so they can get over and get services from the police department or come to the finance window. So we're hoping to open that up within about a week. We've just about got our plan done, and we're getting some of our supplies. I know the council's been very anxious to have council meetings in the council chambers, but at this point, you're still not allowed to have public gatherings. And so we're looking at the potential of allowing the council to be able to have their meetings, and it's only staff only, including the council, which we consider as staff. And again, to have the spacing to move staff aside, I think we'll be able to at least let the council operate in a more normal way than the Zoom platform and still have it broadcasted on Access Humboldt. So maybe getting back to a little more normal council meeting, but without the potential, at least not for a while, to have the public come and be in attendance.
Well, could you shift it over to like River Lodge or something like that? Is that equipped for that?
Absolutely. We actually have talked about that. That's a possibility. But at this point, the public gatherings aren't allowed. So we're operating under the same orders that everybody else is. We could get the distancing, absolutely, in one of our bigger buildings like River Lodge. But at this point, that's off the table.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19. Shit. Okay, try that one again.
You could have played it off like 8:23.
Yeah, 3, 2, 1. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Merritt Perry from the friendly city of Fortuna. Going to run out of some of those adjectives here pretty quick, bud. Merritt, when you're looking at the businesses and the reopening and the certification, and is Fortuna in the code enforcement business? Is that what city is going to rely on the county to do? How are you going to know which ones are okay to open, which ones aren't? Who has the approved plans? Who aren't? Is this an extra load on your staff, or is this code enforcement out of the county?
The public health officer is really making the rules for the reopening. The sheriff's overseeing the enforcement, and our local police are responsible for enforcing the shelter-in-place orders. So we're not directing it. We're not calling the shots of what can open when. And really, we're just trying to make sure that if there's complaints, that it'll fall on our police department to make sure that people are doing what they're supposed to be doing. One of the elements of all these businesses opening is businesses are supposed to get certification. And one of the things that's going to happen, I understand there's been about 700 applications or certification packages submitted. And so the county will be providing the city with all the businesses that have certifications for opening. And so we've also volunteered some of our city staff to help review those plans, as have a number of the other cities, because all of the cities really want to see these businesses get open and running. And so we wanted to make sure to have enough folks working on assisting the county with those certifications in order to be able to avoid any kind of delays.
Does that mean you're going to be reviewing ours?
I'm personally not reviewing them, but they've divided it into functional groups. So they'll have one group of people that are, for example, are reviewing manufacturing operations, another group that's, you know, looking at retail, maybe another group that's looking at restaurants. And so they have a certain group of people get, you know, looking at one type of business. So there's consistency in those reviews across those businesses. But as far as enforcement, to answer your question, you know, I think it's going to be like a lot of code compliance. It's going to be complaint driven. And, you know, certainly we have to take that seriously. I don't think we want to be in the business of being a heavy and coming down on our businesses, but you know, we are obligated to make sure that people are following those rules, and if they have a plan, that they're putting those measures into place. So yes, we will have some involvement.
I've often thought that either you're just posting a certification note at the front door or front window, or a kind of a breakout of what you're doing, so just the casual person coming by can take a look, see at it, and go, okay, I feel comfortable, or the government types feel comfortable, or maybe I don't want to pop into this store today, and just make it that simple. You know, kind of like with the URM, the Union Forest Masonry in Old Town. You know, you got a sign up, and if it's not, at least you know that it's not been reinforced.
Yeah, you know, I think ultimately it comes down to the public's confidence of feeling safe in a business. I think there's going to be some people feeling safe with no things measures in place, but I think there's going to be a lot of people who want to see those basic measures in place. And, you know, one of the key things is wearing the mask, and that sounds like that's the primary mode of transmission right now, is through the aerosols and vapors. And they're now, the CDC just issued new information that they think it's less on surfaces, and it's more just transmitted through the air and through the vapors. So you know, I think ultimately people are going to want to see those safety measures in place so they feel safe ultimately when restaurants open, for example, going out to eat or shopping in a business. I think that's, you know, I think that's going to be the key. I don't know off the top of my head if they're going to have some certification that they post in the window. I know there was something about that with the county before, but I think that would be an indication to people that at least the business is aware, they have a plan that they should be following, and, you know, then they'll be able to recognize that the business is putting those safety measures into place.
Do you have the ability? I know you guys get the sales tax on a quarterly basis. Do you have any indication at all what the impact has been to Fortuna during this shutdown period?
We haven't seen the information for the current quarter, and most of the cities have a sales tax consultant that do projections for them, and they'll look at the type of businesses in the city. They'll look at the past sales tax. They'll consider the current, you know, emergency and pandemic, and, you know, what places have been open and how much does that comprise of your sales tax. And so we have some projections and a few different scenarios that we're looking at, but we don't have real-time information. And I think right now there's even some delays in businesses submitting their taxes. So there will be somewhat of a lag. We do not have any kind of real-time information.
So as you're working on the budget, getting ready, or now reviewing the budget with the governor's revise, et cetera, how are you playing the game?
You know, we've taken the numbers from our sales tax consultant, and those look pretty good. Well, not pretty good. They look pretty bad. But we're trying to balance our budget and not use reserve funds as a part of this year's budget. We've, a lot of our part-time employees, we have laid them off. A lot of them are in parks or facilities rentals. Some will be coming back on for the summer fun, you know, camp program. But you've let go, you know, so we just haven't scheduled a lot of our part-timers. We've furloughed some of our, you know, a few full-timers. And so we've cut back on our staffing. There's some positions where people are retiring that we're not going to fill. We have a number of vacant positions that we're not filling. So we're taking advantage, you know, we're trying to do our best to keep all of our regular full-time employees, you know, employed without laying them off. There are some exceptions. For example, our facilities rentals. We can't have people there all day when we're not running facilities. So that's an obvious one. Where there aren't services to provide, you can't really justify having a person there. But we're looking to see if we can shift those people, for example, over to a parks program, or maybe helping out the county with the certifications. So it's kind of in a state of flux, trying to respond to, you know, what new services we're going to provide, and, you know, can we put our people in those spots? And if not, you know, we are having to lay off in some instances.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:30. Hi, this is Brian Papstein. This afternoon, Humboldt County Health Officer Teresa Fankovic is having a press conference and will be announcing the formalization of our current practices, formerly referenced as shelter in place. What does this mean? How does it impact you? Find out as we will be talking with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel this afternoon. Stay tuned here in the 4 o'clock hour. You'll be able to hear that interview in its entirety, and we'll have it on our website later this afternoon. Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with City of Fortuna City Manager Merritt Perry. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Merritt, what's some of the different challenges that certainly will be out there? What are you hearing on the medical front? I mean, you guys have got Redwood down. You've got Humboldt Open Door that's open. When you are talking to those folks, what are they telling you? Is there any information you can glean from those folks or those entities to kind of help to give a little clarity for the summer and fall?
You know, we haven't had a lot of communication with the hospitals lately, but my understanding from hearing from the sheriff and Dr. Frankovic, our public health officer, is that, you know, we don't have those facilities at capacity. So I think I think the hospitals are doing fine. Again, I'm not an expert in that at all, but I haven't been hearing of different problems or challenges that they're having. You know, I know they've modified their operations and they're doing health screening before bringing patients in. You know, they're trying to limit visits and do online visits, but beyond that, I don't know of any other particular challenges. I don't think we're seeing the huge numbers of coronavirus cases right now that are, you know, swamping our hospitals. So, you know, I think that's the thing that we all need to be concerned about. If people really start getting sick in big numbers and we start filling up all of our hospital beds, I think that's the big concern that we need to be worried about.
So when the shelter is lifted and things of that nature, I would suspect that you're still going to have some signage around town just telling people, or reminding them perhaps, of some of the basics as we kind of figure out where things are headed.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the hard things that is to really get the communication out there. Right now, a lot of the decisions that are being made, again, they're at the county level from the public health officer, and they're being conveyed by Dr. Frankovic or Sheriff Hansel. We don't have a lot of lead time on those things. And, you know, some of the, you know, again, I think this is probably most, it's challenging for people, but it's, you know, in the general public, but it's very, very challenging for our business owners. And our local business support organizations, the Fortuna Chamber of Commerce, the Fortuna Business Improvement District, they are consistently putting out new information. You know, I think that's something at the city level we could do a better job and probably put new Facebook posts out there of what's happening. But again, we don't have a lot of advance notice. Literally, I'll find out things at times from the Lost Coast Outpost, or I'll find out things from a county press release of when they're happening. Occasionally, I'll have a chance to talk to the sheriff and get some information up front, but we don't have a lot more insight to that process or how things are happening. And I think in a certain regard, the county is, you know, responding to some of the state decisions that are being made. So, you know, I wish we had more information and we had this grand plan and we could tell everybody in advance what's going to happen and people could plan accordingly, but we just don't have that.
You know, I would think that if you had a pizza warm in the oven at City Hall each night, that you might get an increased level of communication with the sheriff on his way home.
You know, the sheriff's done a great job. You know, I know his cell phone number. If I have questions, I can call him, and I've done so. I've talked to him already a couple of times this week, and he's made himself available, which I really appreciate.
Okay, fair enough. KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:42. 43. We're back talking shop this morning with Merritt Perry. Merritt, some of the different challenges that are out there are, okay, inside the office, they're budget-related, they're cultural stuff, but this time of the year is also the construction period for you guys. What's the status of those?
Well, we have a few pretty big projects, things that we've been working on for some time. One of the projects that is going to construction this week, it's a Safe Route to Schools project that's focused around South School and really hardscape improvements of how to get kids across and to the school and to the school, which is near Newburgh and Fortuna Boulevard. And it includes sidewalks down Lawndale, where there aren't sidewalks, on a long block just adjacent to the school, or a long neighborhood adjacent to the school. So we've been working on that for a long time, and that's getting ready to go into construction right now. We are almost complete with the Highway Safety Improvement Program project, or we're midway on that, where they're going to be putting in enhanced crossing, where you have the rectangular rapid flashing beacons, and there's going to be a push button at different crosswalks around town. There's going to be one that goes in by the Monday Club. There's going to be one that's over by Newburgh Park. Some of those areas that people cross that they don't always get the same attention that they normally would, like, say, for example, on Main Street. By and large, the drivers in Fortuna are pretty courteous, and if they see people at a sidewalk, they stop. That's, the people do a great job, but this will just help people to see pedestrians better. And then a really big project that we've got, we received almost $3 million in grant funds to replace the Jameson Creek Culvert on Ronerville Road. And that's right near where Kenwood comes into Ronerville Road, just to the north of there. And so we're going to take out an old culvert that is in pretty bad condition, and then we're going to put that in with a much bigger culvert that will allow fish passage at that location. So we received restoration dollars from the Wildlife Conservation Board, California Department of Fish and Wildlife, that flow to their programs from Prop 68. So the big thing for the public to know is that we're going to be closing that road down around the beginning of June, and it's going to probably be closed down for about 8 weeks. And they're going to dig a huge hole, much like that was done recently in Myrtle, except there will be no detour. People are going to have to detour on other streets. So we've been getting the word out. We have a presentation coming up at our council meeting. We don't have the exact dates yet, but when we see Ronerville Road closed, that's going to be a big effect on people. And our thought is, if we can close the road, we can get the project done much quicker and then put the road back together and inconvenience people less in the long run.
What about the exchange with the highway? I know that there was an awful lot of attention and you were hoping to kind of get some of the studies done. Has this situation slowed that up, or are the studies still continuing with the overpass and the rerouting and all that fun stuff?
So we did receive money. We have projects that we want to work on, two projects, one at the Kenmar interchange and one at the 12th Street interchange. And Kenmar has a lot of congestion. There's a lot of people that use that exit that are either coming or going from work and commuting to work in the morning. So we have money right now for the project approval and environmental document. So we're really doing a lot of the design work, the environmental studies, and producing a CEQA document for the improvement at that interchange. So that's going. There's not going to be any shovels to the ground yet, but we are going to get to the point where we have permits to proceed with the work when we get to the end of this phase. And then the hard part is we don't have construction funding yet. So that's going to be the next thing, is that project at the interchange enough of a priority at the regional level to be able to put our state funding? And as you well know, people aren't really driving. There's less gas tax, so there's going to be less money to work with. So that's going to be interesting to see how, what the funding levels are for road projects moving forward.
So that's a regional project?
It was included in the Regional Transportation Improvement Program. So essentially, the region gets a bit of money and they decide how much goes to what project.
That's like the HCOG group rather than, I was thinking maybe Caltrans had it down as one of their big regionals, like the bypass or something along those lines.
We would love to have Caltrans take that on. They are participating. The cost of the project came in over, and Caltrans stepped up, and they're going to take on some aspects of the project because it is on the state highway system. And so they took on enough to get our project within budget. We have a consultant working on our portion, and with the consultant effort and the portion that Caltrans agreed to take on, we just got right there to where we need to be. So they were really helpful in keeping the project to move forward.
So What's success going to look like for you at the end of the summer? Do you think there's going to be a rodeo, Autorama, or Auto Expo? I forget what it's really called anymore. And some of signature programs or opportunities?
You know, I know there's a strong desire to do that on behalf of the different groups, whether it's the Rodeo Association and the Rodeo Parade and Barbecue and the 3rd of July. I guess my answer to you is I don't know. I think people are really craving some normalcy and would love to see some of those big events, but I think it's doubtful that the state is going to approve spectator-type events in time. I don't see that happening until July. I think we'll be lucky if we get competitive sports back by that time, or recreational sports. But we are working with the Rodeo Association, and we hope to see if they can reconfigure it, maybe have something smaller. We want to support their effort to get approval to do that. Again, I don't know ultimately what can be approved, and I think it's unlikely the state and the county will allow large spectator events. And, you know, I don't know if they'll be able to scale it back enough to get it to a point where we can get approval and if it'll even look the same. But I know there's a desire, and they've been talking about potential per parade or maybe having a barbecue where they just serve people and not have a gathering. And I think they're trying to figure out a way to keep their tradition going within the rules that we have in place right now.
Well, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. And at least there's now recognition at the state level of some of the desires and the needs. And I really do think it's the needs for the cultural components of what our lives are. It's frustrating. It got to the point, obviously, for a lot of folks, but it's also kind of cool that there's recognition now that it's just not being driven by one side of the discussion. Thanks for coming by, bud. Hang in there.
Yeah, my pleasure. And, you know, I just want to thank all our businesses that are hanging in there and trying to work their way through this. Again, we know how hard this is for all the families that are having trouble right now keeping businesses going. So anyway, thanks for having me on, Brian. I really appreciate it.
All right. Well, hopefully we'll get together next month face to face.
Great.
See everybody tomorrow.